Amen. Thank you, Wade, for those prayers. And let's keep praying. Keep praying for one another and keep praying for our city. And it's just good to be together. So thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for being at home as we gather together. I think one of the things as we go through COVID-19 is it's really kind of stripping away everything, as Wade was saying, kind of shaking everything. We come back to the basics, and we can give thanks for the basics. And one of the basics is just not taking for granted that we can get together and worship. So again, thank you for being here. You're welcome here online. Thank you for being there. If you're at home, just kind of do what we do. So if you see that we're singing, sing. If you see that we're praying, praying. If you see someone over here sleeping, don't do that. So, but join us as we're going through this time together. Because together is how we're going through this. And so we've chosen Philippians as a book for these last 3 weeks now, in the fourth Sunday, that we can just go through it all together and be reading, be literally on the same page every day. So today we're finishing this series called To Live as Christ with Philippians 4. And I think kind of fitting today, we're going to have the chapter 4 both electronically and live. So this is kind of mirroring where we are as a community. So you may want to follow along in chapter 4 as we finish up on your electronic phones. But we're going to have, again, Sarah and Marion sharing their work with us. So we're going to, first of all, have Sarah coming live, well, not live to us, but coming by video from Switzerland, and then Marion's going to be here live. So chapter 4, To Live as Christ.
Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, for they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and my other co-workers, whose names are in the Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have heard or received or learned from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord because you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, you Philippians know that with the acquaintance that you had in those early days in the gospel, when I left for Macedonia, as I was leaving, you all were the only ones. In fact, there was no other church that came alongside me in the matter of giving and receiving except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, I received aid from you more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more will be credited to your account. For I have received full payment. I have more than enough. I am amply supplied, for I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, and they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. All God's people, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send their greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Got to take this off and put this on. There you go. That'll work. But thank you, Marian, for sharing, and thank you also for Sarah. Let me encourage you as we're thinking, and we heard the whole of Philippians come through that were learned by heart, to just be inspired to do your part. Today, even, that the verses we're going to look at, there's some really powerful verses. One of them, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all this through him who strengthens me. That's a beautiful verse to memorize, and there'll be others here as well. You can see on your bulletin here that these are the verses that we're going to look at. We're not looking at the whole chapter, but we're going to look at verses 4 through 13 this morning. And as we look at these verses, we just pray that they be more than words on a page, but they be life-giving words to us, especially during this time. So let's begin in prayer and just give our time to God. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word, Holy Spirit. Your word that you inspired through Paul almost 2,000 years ago. And yet your word that speaks life into us here this morning and at Hong Kong. So Holy Spirit, come. Speak to your people. Fill us with you, Jesus. And may we be encouraged. May we be inspired. May we be lifted because of your word, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So I was sharing with staff last couple of weeks that I'm thinking about writing a book. So I don't know what the book is really going to be fully about, but I have the title already. And the title for the book is this. It's called Typhoons, Protest, and Epidemics, What They Did Not Teach You in Seminary. Because we're all learning, all this week as pastors have been getting together saying, what should we do? How can we do this? We're all learning together, and you're learning as well, right? If you're a parent, you're learning how to be a homeschool parent. If you're a kid, you're learning how to be a homeschooler. If you're at work or not at work, you're at home, you're learning how that works. We're learning the delivery times for the trucks, for Welcome and for Fusion, and we're learning, right? And sometimes that learning can be unsettling a little bit. And so as I was looking at the text for this week, this particular verse kind of jumped off the page at me from Philippians 4:11. It says, "For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Whatever the circumstances. And later Paul, as you heard, will say, in any and every situation, even in the one we're going through right now, I have learned to be content. Now, we'll talk a little bit about what that word content means, but basically what he's saying is whatever life throws at me, I have learned to be the same. right? And you might be thinking, that's true with me too. Whatever life throws at me, I'm always panicked, right? Or I'm always anxious. But the word here is kind of poised. If you were to put it into parenting terminology, it would be the word non-anxious presence. And we spoke about this on Wednesday in our Facebook Live. But it's a word, I think, for this season, for the church and for you and I, that we can have this poise. We can have this contentment, this security, this non-anxious presence. But the beautiful thing about it is Paul doesn't say, that's just the type of guy I am. I'm just confident that way. No, he says, I had to learn it. I had to learn it. And you can learn it too. Now, Paul was a bit of a sports buff, I think, apparently, because he loved to use sporting metaphors. And this is one he uses to the church in Corinthians. He says, everyone who competes in the games, and he's talking about the Olympic Games. Some scholars think that he actually was in Corinth during the 51 Olympic Games. And may even have made some of the tents there for the games. But it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And Paul is pointing us to a deep spiritual truth here. And here's the truth. I think put very well by Ortberg. Also, Dallas Willard talks about this. But spiritual transformation, in other words, becoming more like Christ, is not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of training. So it's not about trying harder. It's about training wisely. And I want to challenge us with that thought as we're going through this season together. Because when we hear these words like rejoice in the Lord, always rejoice, and you're thinking to yourself, rejoice? Even now? And then we might try to rejoice, right? And we might think, oh, I should rejoice. I should just try. But it doesn't work that well, does it? But what about if instead of trying harder, we thought about how do I train to be able to be joyful even in these situations, to be at peace in these situations? So let me give you an example. If right now I came here and I said, okay, we're going to do something a little bit different during today's service because it's different times. So instead of just being here, we're going to get healthy. So we're all going to go out and run a marathon, and at home as well. We're all going to go out, and we're going to do this. We're going to run 42 kilometers, try to make it back here by the 11:30 service. I don't know, right? As soon as I would say this, you would think that's not going to happen, or that's going to be very painful. That's not going to be joyful, right? But if I said to you, 6 months' time, we're going to run this. And so let's start training now. Let's get out and start working through this together. Every day we'll do it together. All of us would be able to finish what we couldn't think about even doing right now. Some are shaking your heads. You could. We could do this together, right? So that's really what Paul is doing here. He's giving us tips in this passage that we read. Training tips. And we're going to go into some of these training tips. But before we do, I want us to be clear about two things. Because I don't think we're going to understand this passage if we don't understand these two things. First of all, we need to understand that Paul is not talking about some theoretical type training. This is not classroom training or even online training. He's talking about real life training. When he wrote those words, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, he was in prison, as we've said. This whole letter comes out of being in prison. And as one commentator said, he wasn't worried about bosses and bills. He was worried about torture and perhaps execution. And in that, he said, this is what I've learned and I want to share it with you. So this is real life stuff. Second thing that's crucial to understanding this is the secret of the gospel. Because the secret of the gospel is that it changes us. It doesn't just give us a little bit more strength to help us suppress our anger during hard times. Or it doesn't give us just a little more patience so we can be kind. Or it doesn't give us just a little more strength so that we can kind of conjure up joy. No, the gospel changes completely, so completely, that Paul talks about a new creation. This is who you are. You are meant for this. You are meant for peace in the midst of this. You are meant for contentment, this non-anxious presence, and you're meant for joy. We have to train for it. But that's who you are. You are changed and transformed. And that's what could be possible for Hong Kong as well, not just to kind of have a little more extra strength, but to be completely changed. Okay, with those as understanding, is that clear to this point? Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to go through three training tips, and I'm going to go through these at a pretty high level. And so what I'm going to ask, like at home, if we're going through these, if you have questions about these, you can jot them down, and then you'll be able to send those in. Also here, be thinking about what questions you might have, either on Philippians or what we're talking about today. But basically, three main training tips. So you got to think about Paul here as a coach, right? So this is your coach at the gym. He's training you. And the first thing he says is, work out your prayer life. Work out your prayer life. And this is verses 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. And then he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, this word anxious, don't be anxious, we need to unpack a little bit. Because the word here is not talking about the normal, healthy, maybe anxiety or anxiousness you might have for your child. The concern that you might have for someone. Because that anxiety is born out of love. He's talking about the anxiety that's born out of fear, that you're just worried about everything. You're kind of a little bit on an edge of panic. This is what he's saying is don't be anxious about that. And as I said, our schedules, right, are all thrown off right now. And because our schedules are all thrown off, then we can become a little more anxious and our prayer life may fall off. And so what Paul is saying, especially now, take care of your prayer life. Especially now, work out your prayer life. And he says this, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, because you don't really have to deal with this. This is an issue above our pay grade, right? This is casting all our cares on him who cares for us, 1 Peter 5:7. When I was in London, when Mary and I were working there, I was associate pastor there, working for another pastor, the senior pastor, who was also named Steve. So you can imagine, we had two Pastor Steves working there. And it really worked out great for me, because if there was any problem which was like too big for me, then I would just say, I think you want the other Pastor Steve, right? And you could just kind of send it down the hallway. And that's a little bit what Paul is saying here. He's like, send it to someone who can handle this. Because when you do, then there's joy. In healthy, functional homes, kids are joyful, right? Because they know their parents got this. They're sending it up, the concerns, and they're there for them. And that's what Paul is challenging us here. But the other thing I was thinking about is, in this time especially, examine your prayer life and see, you know, like good training, occasionally you'll change your techniques and say, is my prayer life working in this situation? So here's an example. We're told to pray specifically, right? So we have maybe 15, 20 things we're praying for, but we only have 5 minutes. So what we do is we get there and we go through all of our struggles and we don't have time to really listen, and then we get up and go. And we've actually just made ourselves more anxious. So the question is, are you rising from your prayer with peace, the peace that passes understanding? Or are you rising maybe just a little more anxious because you've just listed all the things that are anxiety-causing around us? I know for me, when you're in this time, I've been trying to say, if I've got 5 minutes, maybe what you want to do is maybe you want to just focus on that song we just sang. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. And let that peace come to you in that. Thanksgiving, Paul mentions here. And I think every good prayer has Thanksgiving in it somewhere. But here's what happens with Thanksgiving. You crack the door for joy. Try to be thankful and not be joyful. They travel together. And so Paul's saying, first of all, work out your prayer life. But then he doesn't stop there. And he says, also work out your thought life. Work out your thought life. And this is that next part where it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. A couple weeks ago, I was going through James in my devotion. That's what we were looking at. And as we were looking at that, we came to the consider it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you face many trials. Do you guys know that verse? Yeah. It's a great verse, right? Don't you love it? Because I don't love it. Every time I come to that, I'm thinking, what? You know, consider it all joy. Because usually I'm focusing on the joy part and I'm focusing on the trial part. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit directed my attention to the consider part. Consider it all joy. So what Paul is saying is basically in that, or James is saying in that text, is he's saying it's not your natural response to be joyful. It's your considered response. So basically, it's like saying, okay, I'm going all through these trials. How should I respond? Well, I could respond with despair, or I could respond with anger, or I could respond with frustration. But having considered all the options, I think I'm going to go with joy. Because as Paul said, joy safeguards us from despair. It safeguards us from the lack of hope. And so what Paul is doing here is he's basically saying, choose joy. And James, the brother of Jesus, is agreeing with him there. So we train our thoughts, think about such things. Yesterday in the men's group, I'm going to call out Jeff, but yesterday in the men's group, Jeff was talking about his grandfather and his grandfather's influence and just being a man of God and sharing. And it made me think of a story about another grandfather, a grandfather and his child, his grandchild. And the grandfather is telling the grandson, he's saying, inside of me, there are two wolves. And these two wolves are always fighting each other. And there's a good wolf who's always trying to do good. And then there's a bad wolf that's always trying to do bad. And these two wolves are fighting with each other. And so the grandkid says, well, Grandpa, who wins? And the grandpa says, the one I feed. The one I feed, right? And that's what Paul is saying. You've got all these choices. In fact, those first ones, and I'm not really 100% sure all of what the listing is, but I know the first true, noble, right, these are words that Paul uses to describe the scripture. So what he's saying is, whatever is excellent, think about those, especially during this time. Take care of your thought life. Train your thought life. I shared during the Facebook Live that I'm a bit of a news junkie, and I just love to get all of the news. And so what I found myself doing not long into COVID-19 was that I would watch the news until I went to bed, and the first thing in the morning I would look at the news when I woke up, right? And so think about that for a moment, because most of that news is fear-inducing. One of the reports was 196 people dead. World health authorities have no idea where this is going. If that's not fear-inducing, right, that the best experts in the world don't know where this is going. And so train your thought life, especially during this time. Think about your thought life. And so what I've been trying to do is to go to bed with prayer and go to bed with one verse and to wake up and not turn that phone on, but just get up, go about the run, the other things, and begin to focus. Train your thought life. How are you starting your day, and how are you finishing your day during this season? Okay, going a little bit higher here. Third training tip, and this is where Paul is the top tip. This is the top tip. And in verse 12 through 13, he says this. Actually, it goes on, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. And then going on into 12 and 13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content, poised, non-anxious presence in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Would you like to know that secret too? Yeah. It's just the next line, basically. It's that simple. Paul says, I can do this through him who gives me strength. Now, what's Paul doing here? He's taking this word, content, which is literally the Greek word in Greek literature for self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. And what he's doing is he's linking it in one sentence in the Greek with Christ's sufficiency. So what he's saying is, I can't do this on my own, but I am fully Christ-sufficient. I'm not self-sufficient. I am Christ-sufficient. And so later in verse 19, he would say this, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I love that he put my there, right? Like, my God. This is the God I know. This is the God I've experienced. Think back to King David. The Lord is my shepherd, right? And when we have that sense of presence of God being in this, then we can claim it. And then we have that Christ sufficiency, that he will supply all of our needs. One of the questions that has been coming to some of the pastors, to all of us pastors at some level, is where is God in this? And again, I shared that that's hard to answer, and that's easy to answer. It's maybe the hardest question to answer when you're going through times like this. It's also the easiest question to answer. It's hard because it gets into the why and what is God in this. It's easy because he's in you. He's in you. And we see the Lord working through you during these times as you take care of each other, as you rely on Christ and have that ability, as you take care of your thought life and your prayer life. Here's what happens. It puts you into the presence of God. And then in the presence of God, you've got this big God that you know is right beside you. And then you feel non-anxious because of his presence.